All right, I'll count around. 3, 5, 6, 9, 1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Big O! Showtime!
Pizza, pizza.
Yeah, I got to put on my good sweatpants.
I'll just have to tell them I'm not a thief, just a pervert.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the gas, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll link it back. For the drone, go direct to DLMGS.org. And I see challenges on LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the gas is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 882 of the Linux Sling Tech Show. On the show, we have Pat.
Happy Turkey Day. Gobble, gobble.
And we have Joe.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I don't know what the hell happened to Joel. Okay, he's back. And we have Joel.
Yes.
There we go. He's back.
Keeps me up for some dumb reason. That was weird.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Yesterday was a nice day here. Temperature wise, and I was hanging out with my wife outside, and so she's been doing a lot of gardening this year, and it's the end of the year, so she had pulled some of the, there's a plant. It's called, I think it's called Preacher Balls. And I swear to God, man, it looks like a bunch of scrotums hanging from the tree. It does. It's
nice.
It's a type of like milkweed or something like that when they pop open, it's just like a scrotum. When it pops open, it's got the
fuzzy little balls.
Yeah, that anyway. So she was cutting those back, and so we have a rubbish pile that is right near, kind of like between where I sit usually, because we have a little fountain out there, and that's where we used to hang out and enjoy the summer. And so we were sitting out there, and there's that little rubbish pile, and my dog started digging in the rubbish pile, and I thought, you know. So we're trying to get it to dry out so we could burn it. And I thought maybe there were some rats or mice in there because they'll do that this time of year. And so we burn it down. And so he was digging in there. And now it smells like he stuck his face in somebody's ass. His whole face smells like shit. It's disgusting. And like I was laying in bed last night and I'm like, oh man, I think I need a bath. And my wife was like, what's that terrible smell? And my daughter's like, what's that terrible? You know, they're like, and it's the dog. His face
it's
is
shit.
It's disgusting. And it's like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a cross between like stinky socks and badass. It's horrible. Yeah, that's our Thanksgiving coming right there. Oh my goodness. What a delight.
Well, I got, I moved it into my office so that the family wouldn't poach it, but I baked, two loaves of bread in my bread maker, just a plain white one. And then, I take the same recipe that I use for the regular white bread, and I add some sage to it, which is traditional kind of, seasoning you would use with turkey, and baked it right into the bread. That's the way I do the bread for my stuffing, and that's going into turkey. But if I didn't hide it in my office here, every time they pass the because I basically use the lid for the turkey roaster to do that, you know, to basically put the, that's why I tear up the bread in. Uh-huh. I just had it sitting on the counter, and every dang time my wife would pass it, she'd snake a bite. I'm like, all right, if you keep eating the bread, there ain't going to be no stuffing. I guess I can make more. Well, I am going to make more because that's what I'm going to make. I'm just going to make a loaf of bread to go with the rest of the dinner. But it's like I had to hide that because, like I said, if I don't, it'll disappear. But so I'm making just traditional roast turkey tomorrow. Tonight after I get off the show, I'm gonna make the desserts. I'm gonna make a pumpkin crunch cake Well, I guess it's, well, I don't, it, they call it pumpkin crunch cake, but it's not really like a cake. It's more like, you take the same kind of mixture you put in the pie shell and you put that in the, in a, you know, you're, like a 9x13 pan. And then on top of that, you dump a dry cake mix, that you mix with, some pecans is what I use. And then you put the dry cake mix with the nuts on top of that pumpkin mixture. And then butter goes on top of that. And then you bake it. And then when it first comes out, you don't want to have it warm at all. You kind of want to wait until it cools off down completely. Cause then that, the cake mix and nut mixture on the top with the butter gets kind of real crispy and crunchy and it's really good. So it's kind of like, almost like a dump pumpkin pie is about the best I can describe it. And then, I'm going to make some sugar-free pies from, so that my wife can have a piece of pie for dinner. And then sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes, and green beans. I'm going to make all that this year. Normally, I make one thing. But we did get two invites. One was to her brother's, and I already knew that wasn't going to happen because his second wife has like 3 kids, and one of them has like 6 children, and I'm sure they are all going to be there. And I'm like, that's a little too many, too people-y for me. It's too people-y for me without the pandemic. It's definitely too people-y for me with the pandemic. And then her sister decides she was going to do it. But then I was talking to my wife. I said, doesn't he have some sort of heart thing that makes him more susceptible? And I'm like, you know, and then I found out, well, you know, his kids were coming and a couple, and I'm like, yeah, no, let's stay home, just do it at home. And that's what we're doing. And then it's looking like right now, we might cancel church for the next 2 weeks because the main, one of the main sound guys / he's also the worship director. He had a meeting at church and found out one of the friends that was at that meeting that doesn't go to our church, had a positive COVID test. Yay.
That stinks. So is he doing okay?
Oh, I'm sure he's doing fine. He's a young guy. I mean, I'm sure it was, guy well under our age. So I'm pretty sure he's going to be fine. He wasn't showing any symptoms as far as I know because he got the test because he was going to go out of state. I'm guessing because on an airplane, maybe, I don't know. But, in my case, I don't want to not go to dad's, but I'm seriously considering not going this year just because I don't know. I haven't actually made any plans yet and I haven't ruled it out completely, but it's like, how much do I want to risk it? You know? I'm not afraid that I'll get sick and die or anything from it. I just don't want to get him sick.
Right, you're afraid to get somebody else sick and have them die.
Yes, mostly, yes. As for myself, you know, or my wife, you know, she's a little more susceptible since she's fuller blown diabetes than I have. But still, it's more of a struggle for me because this is kind of an important year for my family Christmas wise because it now marks 5 years since mom passed. It'd be the first year since then that I wouldn't go if I just make the decision not to go. But I don't know.
It's already been decided that we're not going anywhere for Christmas. We had about it earlier today. Because we were supposed to go out to Florida, but don't really think it's a good idea to travel across the country with the numbers on the rise.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not too as worried about myself as I am other people, you know, with that regard.
I have a daughter that has medical problems that make her more susceptible. And then my grandpa, who in Florida, near right like up the road from my dad, he's been real sick lately with cancer again.
Oh, that's never good. But
the last time he's going to have cancer.
Yep. The one most interesting thing about this whole thing so far has been, I have a coworker that actually did have it. She was out of work for a couple weeks, just because she couldn't. I mean, she's just too weak. With her, she had none of the respiratory symptoms. I just talked to her this week, and she had none of the respiratory symptoms. With her, it's all of the other stuff. She already had pretty bad arthritis in a couple places. And she said that when she had the virus, she was just like on fire is what her body felt like. And that's just what she felt. And then, of course, the fatigue went along with it, too. But she didn't have any cough. She didn't have any of the upper respiratory, which is just so strange, is how it hits people differently and how it affects people afterwards. Like, I have another friend, goes to a different church, but I've seen him sing. He's a part of a, not their worship team, but like a Christian group that sings. I've seen him before, but he's a little bit older than I am. Actually probably a lot older because he's got grandkids and I don't have those yet, but, he got it and he basically only really felt down out and out for the count for about 4 days. From him, it was really never that bad from what he was sounding like. The one thing he did get was, which is another odd thing, because not everyone gets some of these weird symptoms. But a lot of people have reported the lack of taste and lack of smell, and that was what he had. She had my coworker. She had a little bit of that, but it didn't last very long. And then, of course, you hear the stories of these people who really actually have actual lung damage because of the virus. And not everyone gets it. It's so weird how it's just random and everywhere. It's almost like autism, where everyone gets it a little bit differently.
Yeah, no kidding. I just like staying the hell home, man. From now until the vaccine. Staying out.
Well, the thing that bothers me a little bit about the vaccine, and it's not even anti-vaxxers that are seeing this. I'm seeing this like out of mainstream media stories where they're saying, well, just the vaccine isn't no picnic either. You're going to get side effects. I'm like, you get side effects with any vaccine. You know, if you listen to the freaking commercials for medicine, it's like half the time you're like, do I really want to bother taking this shit?
I've read the side effects and I'm like, give me those, because yeah. I certainly don't want to take a chance with the rest of it. Give me
that's
those.
That's what I'm saying.
Oily discharge.
Oily
discharge. We're not. It's a vaccine, man. It's not Olestra.
Not Olestra. It's not
oily discharge. Unsaturated fats.
Oh my goodness.
But it's,
you may,
it's like,
you may feel,
you know,
male feel symptoms of psychosis and
that murder. That's just, you know, I don't want to say that's just the last 4 years.
I'll tell you, man, you're right though. If you watch like late night TV or you know, any of those commercials and that whole list of stuff that comes by,
so
it's like,
it might give you psoriasis and
if you have psychotic feelings, please contact a certified professional.
It is some scary stuff.
Don't discontinue this, so you might kill yourself.
It'll help your arthritis, but you'll develop suicidal tendencies, schizophrenia, and oily discharge. And it's like, I don't know, man. What's worse?
Right? But that's like when asked, like not by any one person, but like when asked, like on a Facebook post, I say, would you take the vaccine? And I said, line me up I don't care. And my wife's like, no, you won't.
You go first. I'll just chill for a bit.
Right. But my wife's like, no, you won't. I'm like, why? They're not going to just give you something that kills you. That's why they're doing, I mean, it's not, that's why there isn't one now. It's because of that. You know? Cause they're testing it. Is it going to be as tested as, say, something like, the polio vaccine, which has been around for century, you know? It's like, no, it's not going to be that safe. But in a lot of cases, it's going to be better than the freaking virus. And better than that you actually get some of your freedom back once you take it a little bit, you know? Of course, that's not guaranteed either.
I'll see how it goes.
Right. It's going to take a while to roll out the vaccine to enough people for it to make a difference.
That's the truth right there. But, you know, so it's just, you know, I try to be as even-handed with it as I can because it's like I said, I'm not scared of myself when I go out. I'm more scared of idiots. Same thing when I'm driving, you know. And I'm not full on pro mask, I'm not full on anti mask. I wear a mask when I have to, you know, but it's like I'm not like the thing I don't get is these people I see that are out for a walk and they're wearing their face mask and there's nobody but them within 100 feet of them. It's like okay. Or if they're wearing a mask in their own car.
People are free to do whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah. And I might shake my head at it, but go right ahead, do whatever makes you comfortable. I don't care.
I got my UPS this week.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is it an APC one?
No, it's just an Amazon one.
Oh, cheap ass motherfucker.
That wasn't cheap. UPS. You know, it's just reasonable. It suits what, my needs. Bucks? Yeah, it was like, it was 89, I think it was.
Okay.
And it has all the wattage that I need on it. And so.
The only thing it doesn't have is the ability to shut things down for you if you have to.
It has the integration. It has software.
Oh, really?
Where you can hook it up. Like, it's not going to work. Like, well, I don't think their software is necessarily going to work. I don't know. I didn't look at it. I'm figuring if I can, I need to kind of look into this. If I can get it to,
work on Linux, you might try.
If I can get Linux to recognize it and maybe, you know, what I'm more interested is not so much is it shutting things down at this point as to like alerting me when something goes on, like when it goes off, or when the, so.
Well, like you're probably there anyway.
Right. Yeah. I am going to be there, but that's the thing. Like unless I hear the beeping of it, it has an alarm, right. Like, that'll go off if the power goes off. But unless I hear, if I can hear that, if I don't hear it, if I'm like all the way upstairs, I wouldn't know until it's too right. late, right? Because
that makes
then
me
I
wonder. I might. Yeah. One thing I'm thinking about, you're talking about that makes me wonder if on my house.
What happened?
Question.
Where'd he go?
I just heard him say about his house, and then that was it.
Yeah, it was a weird sound. It was like a bang.
I think that was my door closing.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, at least it's not related. I was like, did they get him? I wonder if he's talking.
He got swatted.
He's still in the channel. Well, what I was going to say is, when, so I came down, shut everything off. Obviously, that's the bummer about this is you have to shut everything off to plug it back in. So I shut everything off, and the moment I plugged this UPS into the wall, the breaker tripped on the outlet. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And then I couldn't, like, I didn't have anything plugged in, and I had a hard time resetting it. So I eventually reset it and I tested again and I didn't even have anything plugged into it and it tripped again.
Broken left channel and disconnected.
Sounds like it's got a short in it.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. So then I was like, okay, like no matter what I did, it wouldn't. So I unplugged everything else in the basement that would be associated with it. And, it didn't make a difference. So I think there's like a short on this outlet. I might have to have maintenance come in and look at it, but you know, so far I've been pretty okay since I plugged this in. Nothing has tripped. And everything is looking pretty good. Fingers crossed. But we'll see. That's why I say, since like I have the gateway and the modem on here, I wouldn't know if the power went out unless the alarm went off, because it would just power the internet and everything until the battery exhausted, which is why I would like to try and get it to at least have Linux monitoring it, or one of my systems monitoring it, and then shoot me a message. Unless it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, that would suck.
Dadgummit.
We thought they got you, man.
It's the second time today it happened where Mumble just drops connection. I have internet. Mumble just drops connection. So I'm wondering if there's a problem between me and Skyhaven.
Well, all your neighbors are home right now, probably using the internet since they don't have to work tomorrow.
This is true too, but...
The joys of apartment living.
Like right before this, I was watching, as I discovered, because I got to this scene, but you'll know what I'm talking about, which scene I'm talking
about. Did you get him again?
Oh, boy.
Was he trying to order a PlayStation off of Walmart?
Is lagging. I think Chrome has just gotten to the point where it's using so much RAM that it's unusable again. When was the last update for Chrome? Does anybody know?
When was it, or what is it?
Broken left channel and disconnected.
We got Joe and they got
it's
Joel.
Not going well.
To where I normally have a...
Oof. That's brutal, man.
More than enough. And then now I'm on a different computer, and I have probably 8 tabs open, and I think this has probably 8 gigs of RAM on it, and yeah, it's not working great.
Anyway, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, the F-word scene.
Wait, what? What are you talking about?
We don't know.
The fart scene?
They got him again.
I think he's streaming Planes, Trains, and Automobile while he's doing the show.
He should probably switch to his dang phone if it's going to be like that, or use his phone for internet. But I could start talking about those two books while we wait for him to come back, but I know he's going to bust on in here like the Kool-Aid man, and
he's going to be like,
I'm talking.
Oh, yeah.
Good one, man. That was
broken left channel and disconnected.
Are you there, man?
Dang.
Ooh, if you hear that?
Yeah, that high pitched tone.
I hear that.
It's coming from one of Dan's machines.
Wait, it is?
Like it's like an audio test.
Yeah, you're the only one that was blue at the time it was going on.
Wait. Did that make a difference when I did that?
It comes and goes. So it was here for a few seconds and then it went away. And that's like the second time it's happened.
Well, let me know if it happens again.
Will do.
All right.
Okay, does the Kool-Aid man want to say anything, or should I talk about those books?
I guess go ahead and talk about
those books. Oh, he got left. He left again. Okay. I read two really good books over the last couple of days. One of them was Rhythm of War by Brandon Sanderson, which is the fourth book in the Stormlight Archive. And Brandon Sanderson is the guy that finished up the Wheel of Time series.
And disconnected.
He's not even here, and he's still acting like the Kool-Aid Man.
Oh, wait. Did that come through?
Yeah.
Ah, I gotta turn that. I hate that. I don't know why every time there's a mumble update, it resets those settings.
I don't know either. I haven't really had that problem. But, yeah. Brandon Sanderson is the guy that finished up the Wheel of Time series, when Robert Jordan died. And did an excellent job. And this fourth book is honestly really, really good. It changes a lot of people's storylines throughout the whole thing, and I think it will greatly impact another read through of the whole series, knowing this extra information to everything else. But yeah, it's a 60-hour long audiobook, so I didn't sleep a whole lot. Yeah, I did it in like 23-24 hours, but it still took 2 days, 2.5 days, because, you know, interruptions, family, occasional sleep.
Will you have it on triple speed or something?
Yeah, I listen to all my audio at like 3x.
Okay.
Some books I'll crank it up to like 4x, but it really depends on the reader for the audiobook.
Let me bypass my Asus router and go to the one that's built in on my freaking DSL modem. Jeez.
Oh, yeah.
Just to rule something out, so I'm as direct as I can get it.
And then the other book was Ready Player 2 by Ernest Cline, who wrote, obviously, Ready Player 1. And I would say that it's not as good as the first one, but it's still definitely worth listening to, or reading, whichever you prefer. And that one's only like a 12-hour book, so I started and finished that today. And I did enjoy it, and it really did add to the story for everybody in the two books. And it didn't really quite hit the same nostalgia factor as Ready Player One did, but it's still definitely worth reading.
Why is it when I search on Ready Player Two in Amazon, before I get Ready Player Two, a novel, I get the paranormal romance set in alternate Las Vegas by Colleen Gleason. Beyond the Night, Embrace the Night, and The Night Beckons. And they all have a very muscular guy on front without a shirt on.
Well, that's the one I was talking about, don't you know?
Oh, that's, so you read that, not Ready Player Two?
No, I read Ready Player Two.
Okay. I, you know what? I have to be honest. I
hate the search algorithm on Amazon.
I'm going to read Ready Player Two. But I'm like, I don't feel like it needed a sequel.
It really didn't. I mean, the first one was complete, but he did find a way to continue it. And yeah, he had to kind of break some of the closure that you got in the first one in order to be able to add some drama, tension into the story to be able to, you know, I guess make it readable.
Mm-hmm. And it's certainly not going to take after the movie, so.
Well, the first book, the movie didn't really take after it.
It's not 100% no, but.
I mean, the idea was the same, but the overall, like, the things that they execution. Did was completely different. Yeah, the execution was completely right. different.
Right.
So Will Wheaton read it.
Yep, he read both of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he does a great job.
Well, let's see.
I think there was just a little bit too much wishful thinking in there, but it's still a good read.
Yep. I have to look. I think I'm behind on The Mandalorian by one, maybe? Let's see.
If you've watched episode 4, then you're all caught up.
Wait, when did they come out?
That's a good question. Yes, I'm all caught up.
So episode 4 was...
Chapter 12.
But that was... Yeah, that was...
Where they go and infiltrate that base.
That was the worst one of the series so far.
Yes.
I did not...
Back to Navarro is where they were.
I thought that they captured the essence of all the Star Wars films in there with a shallow story.
Yeah, a bit.
I mean, it wasn't bad. It just, no. I thought it didn't hold up like the rest of them, like the rest of all the other episodes that I've watched.
It's got a bit of dogfighting in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there was that. There was, I don't know how to say anything without giving away too much for people who may not have seen it.
Well, the Razor Claw got beat up on the third one. It's all better now, though.
And so, you know, next episode when it gets trashed again.
Yeah, finally he can.
Yeah, probably.
He can go back to what his quest's supposed to be.
Well. Yes. Well,
instead of all his side quests,
he might be back on quest, but something happened in the fourth one that makes it obvious what's going to happen next to distract him from his mission.
Well, Gideon's back.
Yeah. And there's a tracker on his ship.
But I thought I was very impressed with the special effects and everything.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Oh, and then you got from series 3, you got Bo-Katan, who was the previous owner of the Darksaber. Oh wait, I'm revealing too much. Dang.
No, that's episode 3. I mean, people will watch it eventually, but they're going to have to expect some spoilers. And then there's all the drama around that that one woman that is on the show. From last season, that's also in this season.
Oh, Gina Carano, who is, what was her name on the show? I can't remember, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The Marshal. She's the Marshal now there.
Yes.
On Navarro, yes. Yeah.
But yeah, all the drama surrounding her and her statements online.
I'm hoping that we move on to a new planet next. That would be cool.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, instead of floating around the same three planets, let's move on. You know what?
It needs to be something completely different. Like, don't go to Mustafar. Don't go to Hoth. Go someplace that's different. Like,
no, maybe... next will be Bespin.
Yeah, Bespin.
You know, I was saying this to the wife in regards to the search for Skywalker, right? And there was something else involved, and I'm like, you know, they had the whole
map. The Rise.
The whole map. Of the universe, except that one spot where Skywalker was. Like, wouldn't it make more sense if they just had that one spot instead of the rest of the universe? Cause like, if you know where the universe is and there's one spot missing, given how far they fly around in Star Wars, they could cover that whole spot in two hours, apparently.
Well, and then you think back to trying to remember, it was probably episode 2, where Obi-Wan was trying to find Kamino, and it was deleted from the archives.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm remembering that now.
Yep, so he had to go find it in a weird way. Yeah, because only the planet was deleted, but the well, the gravity well was still there, so he was still able to find it. Which I thought, well, how dumb is that? That's like trying, this is like trying to delete the last thing you did, but you have all the tracks up to that. You know?
I'm looking forward to the next episode, though. I'll tell you what, and I'll tell you one more thing. I'll tell you. I did a good thing and I did a bad thing, Joel.
Uh-oh.
I did a good thing. I watched the first episode of Picard.
Oh, yeah?
But...
I haven't watched it yet.
The bad thing was, is I watched it... My wife and I watched it with our youngest daughter. And uh-oh, she likes it, too. So uh-oh, now, we can't watch the next episode unless she's with us, because she wants to see it too. She really enjoyed it. So, I dug it. I thought it was really good.
Thursday and Friday, that's what you're gonna do. Binge watch it.
just, you know, go to your office and watch
it. Or that.
And act all surprised when you watch it again.
Yeah, there you go.
No, but it was good, and I'm like, my wife was like, well, I thought we were going to watch Star Trek Discovery first. And I was like, well, I was told we should watch Picard first.
It doesn't really matter which one you watch first. So, you know, because they're kind of
unrelated. They're a little separated by time.
Yeah.
Well.
But now a lot separated by time.
Apparently. But I, again, you know, like Picard and the Star Trek stuff and the Mandalorian, like, I'm just really impressed with the production values that they throw at these.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Shows. I mean, I'd rather watch that than go to the movies and watch a 2-hour movie where they just cram
it's
everything
easy.
In.
Oh, are you going to go watch Wonder Woman in theater?
Yeah, there you go.
Are they releasing The Rise of Skywalker again in the theaters?
That I don't know.
Because we keep seeing commercials for it being released on December 20th. I'm like, why are they releasing that again? That seems stupid. But no, I'm not.
Because they haven't made a new one yet, and they were supposed to?
I thought they were done with Star Wars now.
Oh, I don't see them ever being done with Star Wars.
No, Solo, like, flopped. I mean, otherwise there probably could have been at least one more movie on Solo. But then, they're doing The Mandalorian. Were they thinking about doing a dedicated Lando Calrissian movie? I don't remember.
I thought they were supposed to do a Boba Fett movie.
Well, I think that's what The Mandalorian supposedly was supposed to be. So, cause Boba Fett, we know the story of Boba Fett.
Well.
Mostly.
He did show up in the first episode.
Yeah, he is in The Mandalorian.
And there's a whole lot of story that can be told with Boba Fett.
Yeah, between when Jango was killed and when he was bounty hunter hunting for Han Solo, of course.
Yeah, but he's not a Mandalorian. He just wears the Mandalorian armor, so.
Oh, well, yeah, true. He probably didn't know any of the Mandalorian history, so.
But yeah, they might not do what anybody would consider a main storyline movie, but
right.
I don't see them, you know, stopping making Star Wars movies. I can see them doing a bit more with a bit more fan service,
right?
To try and up their numbers.
I think what I would have loved to see, and I think is theoretically probably still possible, would be that for them to make movies on the Heir to the Empire series. That would be a fantastic series of movies. Although they'd have to find a new actor for Luke.
Yeah, well, or the Jedi Academy trilogy.
Yeah.
That would bring in a whole new series of actors for them and, you know, allow them to start expanding their Jedi again.
Or a prequel to The Force Awakens that shows what happened, you know, they could do one of those, but I don't think you can get more than one.
Some of the lore from, like, way back in the past they could do.
Yeah, like maybe about the Emperor when he knew Darth Plagueis. So, some of that. That'd be interesting, but...
Maybe the founding of the Jedi Knights?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That would be cool.
Or even a movie about Yoda. Like Yoda when he is a lot younger, you know? They could reuse the animations for the child as Baby Yoda. True Baby Yoda. Who knows? I don't know. It's, you know, as good as The Mandalorian, they need to have Jon Favreau do a Star Wars movie. Because he's the one who is behind The Mandalorian. Directing it, anyway. Well, it's not directing it, but producing. But, yeah. So, I mean, and he's why, I fully believe he's why the Marvel Cinematic Universe exists. Because he's the one who produced Iron Man. And I don't think they act like they had a whole plan for the MCU from Iron Man onward, but I don't really think they did. I don't really think that until the Iron Man really struck it, I don't think it ended up...
Right, they didn't know that there was any money in it until Iron Man started making money.
Right, when Iron Man, when it was fully realized and they figured out, dude, we can make $1 billion.
And we can convince everybody to watch all of the movies, whether they're good or not, because all the stories will be interconnected.
Truth. But
cough, Age of Ultron.
I heard a rumor too. I don't know how much of the Black Panther 2 did they have made before he died.
I don't think they had any of it made because he was sick for a long time.
Right, because he was sick during when they filmed Endgame. So, but because I heard a rumor, I guess it's still happening.
Yeah, they're not recasting him. I think they're going to make somebody else the Black Panther.
Yeah. So, but the rumor I heard was that RDJ was going to be back as Iron Man again, even though his initial contract was done. Because I think I'll have to find the article and read it again.
Now, obviously, they could bring him back to life if they wanted to,
right?
But it might just be more likely that they're going to have flashback scenes or something.
Or it depends too. Like
to start swapping out people.
He could have a cameo in Black Widow since that's set prior to all of it.
Right.
So, I mean, he could be in Black Widow, but...
Yeah, but that's during the time where he was kind of, you know, hiding off in the mountains making babies.
Wait, I thought Black Widow was, like, prior to Iron Man 1.
No, I thought Black Widow was supposed to be in the time frame after the snap, but before everybody came back.
And if it wasn't for the stupid virus, we'd already know about it, but...
Yeah. Nothing in the MCU this year.
Actually, Den of Geek says, examining Disney Plus leak, revealing a Black Widow streaming announcement and MCU series release dates.
Well, WandaVision is supposed to be out in January. And I'll probably watch it. I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
I don't think the trailers make it look all that good, so like I said, I'll give it a try. But I want to know if anybody's planning on actually going and seeing Wonder Woman on or around December 25th when it hits theaters.
That would be an absolute no for me, Joe. All
right.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say the same thing. But it will also be on HBO Max at the same time.
Where I also will not be watching it because I don't have HBO Max.
Yeah, same here. But I'll probably still find a way to watch it.
I don't want to hear none of your illegal shit, Joe.
What? Well, you think I don't know anybody with HBO Max?
Well, I don't know.
Here, if you haven't signed up for it, and you don't have to pay for it, sign up for Peacock. Because there is a tremendous amount of stuff on there.
But not Wonder Woman 1984.
No. The whole battles, the Battlestar Galactica, you know, the reimagined is there. Warehouse 13's there. I have to look and see if they put Eureka on there too. But, I started watching
Warehouse 13.
Yep. I started watching that, the other night.
Yeah, again, I like Warehouse 13. From the 13. Beginning. And I like how it crosses over with, Alphas Eureka. And Eureka.
Yep.
I don't know if you watched Alphas or not. It was only like one season.
Yeah, I haven't watched. I might have watched an episode of Alphas. It's like, for me, that's like everyone just thought Heroes was so good. I never could stand watching Heroes.
Well, evidently they didn't think Alphas was all that good because it only lasted one season.
True. But, you know, I feel like the way I feel about Heroes is the way I felt about Firefly, and a lot of people really like Firefly, too.
I like Firefly.
And, yeah. In fact, some people are saying that Firefly is just like, The Mandalorian is just like Firefly, and like, not really.
Not really. I don't see that. Now, Killjoys was a lot like Firefly. And Killjoys lasted a few seasons.
What was Killjoys on?
Sci-fi?
Sci-fi?
Oh, wait, this isn't... Alright, this has nothing to do with, My Chemical Romance's Danger Days and oh shit, what's his name? Oh, man, what's the lead singer's name in My Chemical Romance? He did Umbrella Corporation and...
I don't know. I'm not a teenage girl.
No, wait. Isn't it Umbrella Corporation? The show that's...
Umbrella Corporation is Resident Evil.
No, no, wait.
You're talking Umbrella Academy.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Umbrella, I'm sorry. Umbrella Academy. Come on, who wrote it?
I think after the wife goes to bed, I'm going to reboot my router. Ever since I switched to the Wi-Fi that's built into the DSL, no problem.
But you have some problems.
Gerard Way did Umbrella Academy, and Killjoys was a comic book he wrote, which I do believe was based on the Danger Days album of My Chemical Romance, that same. So I'm guessing that the Killjoys show and the comic book are not related.
I would assume that that's the case.
Okay.
Right.
Is it about, you know, space bounty hunters fighting,
no,
you know, aliens that take over your mind?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Well, one thing I am disappointed on is I downloaded the STL for the Mandalorian helmet, and I have to print it in multiple pieces.
That's because it's friggin' huge.
That's right.
How long would it take that to print that?
A couple days.
I'll have to see if it's still in Kura. I had half of it, and I had to orient it. Couldn't do it flat. All right, so I had to basically had it on the tip and have a lot of tree support. I'll have to look over at my surface. It's in Kura on my surface right now. So it did fit up and down. It fit, but it wouldn't fit anywhere else. X or Y axis, it wouldn't fit anywhere if I printed. Because there's the nice thing about that STL is when you download a zip, it actually includes the full helmet STL, and it divides it in half. I think it also does it down to quarters too, if you really want to go that way. Because the worst thing after you get it printed is the only way it's going to look right is if you fill it up, fill it up and get rid of all the layer lines, and then find you a nice gunmetal paint,
you can prime it.
I don't know if you do it in a rattle can or not, to make it look like Besker, but
you can fill in most of those layer lines.
Oh yeah,
some primer and some sandpaper.
Yeah. Correct. And then you'd have to glue it together too, but
and then sand the glue down.
Right. So it'd be, I've seen some of the 3D printed ones, and they are amazing. Depending on who's doing it.
See some cosplay where somebody does Iron Man and they do the whole suit from a 3D printer, and you have to imagine.
I've seen that.
That took them at least a year.
Actual physical work.
Yeah, between just
not
printing it out,
work.
the messed up prints, the stuff that comes out sure as heck ain't done yet.
That's for sure.
The sanding, the painting.
And then here's the thing I don't get. Now, have you watched any of Discovery yet this season?
Nope.
Okay. All right.
I haven't watched any of Discovery.
Well, the only thing, and I don't think this would reveal too much, they had to make a jump in the timeline from season 2 to season 3. All right. So Starfleet still exists in the future timeline. This is like way out past Picard and all. All right. But they got brand new badges. All right. So I thought, oh, hey, let me see if I can print those, because that shouldn't take too long to print. But then I thought, first off, I did find an STL, but I found somebody wants to charge almost, not a lot of money, like $4 for it. And I'm like, how can you charge that much for something that's a copyrighted?
Have you been on Etsy?
You ain't lying. But I have a friend who had a whole bunch of pottery creations that she had done that has a whole bunch of what would be copyrighted stuff too. And it's not a lot. The guy was charging, and I'm not paying him, but the guy was charging like $4 and some change to download the STL file. I think it was on, I don't know if it was on my mini factory or what. But in any event, though, I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, gosh, that I'd still have to do a lot of labor on it to make it look good because the new badge, if you've seen the show, you know what I'm talking about. But if you haven't, think kind of a cross of the standard Starfleet Delta with the Bajoran communicator from Deep Space Nine. That's kind of what it looks like. So it's very curvy and round, and that's one thing 3D printers don't do well, is things that are round. If you print like a sphere or something, you'll see the layer lines get real pronounced in parts of the sphere. It's less pronounced. You can increase or decrease the layer layer height, and that helps a little bit.
Yeah, but it's definitely difficult to print anything that's domed.
Yes, anything domed like that is difficult, and you'll see that. That's, you know, anything like that, you'll see. So it would be, you'd have to do a complete fill-in to make it look good. You couldn't just slap some primer on it and then paint it and make it look good.
Now, you'd the new one on Thingiverse, but I definitely see Star Trek Discovery Insignia badges.
Which, those ones were pretty much the standard Starfleet Deltas. They weren't all that different than
give it another week.
Real series. But the other ones are there. But yeah, and those were on Thingiverse. So, but this one wasn't. I was able to find it elsewhere, but. Yeah, Mordancy actually has got a good point, is a lot of these you could make vacuum mold, and that would be better. And then you don't have to paint it either. But you would just have to fill it in once and make it smooth once. But I'm actually that's one of those things where if QMX had one, I would buy one. Because something like that is not going to be expensive. QMX is QMX Online. They have a lot of cool stuff, and it's trending a little bit. It's not like a cheap, but it's not. For what you get, it's worth it, because most of the stuff that QMX has is screen accurate. And QMX stands for Quantum Mechanics. QMXonline.com. So. Like right now, if you go there, they have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles stuff, because I guess there's a TV series on Nickelodeon now?
No idea on that one.
And Mortal Kombat. Yeah, so actually, if you go to QMX right now, you can get Discovery Emblems. You can also get Mirror Universe emblems. Klingon ones. They got a Worf mini master figure for $25.
You were talking about the oval shaped new badge.
Here, I'll paste this in the mobile chat. Man, there's the QMX Online, the Star Trek collections there. They also have a Section 31 Discovery badge. It's the black badge that they had on season 2 of Discovery, concentrating a lot on Section 31.
Like I said, give it another week.
Now, I bet you QMX is already working on them, so. And, it's out of stock now, but the Section 31 badge from Season 2 was only $15. So it's like, you know, there you go.
Actually, you know what? Let me see. Dang it, I hate that. My chat just goes away. User interface.
Yeah, they have a screen accurate next gen communicator badge for $19.95.
Oh, I found one on Thingiverse that I think is the right one. Send you a message. I can do that.
Yeah, send it, season 3 Discovery.
Tell me if that's right.
Let's see.
Oh, no, no, it's just an inverse.
Yeah, that,
regular
that
badge.
That's a TNG badge.
Yeah, but it's got the oval shape to it. That's why I was thinking.
Actually,
it was...
you know what? I might have to download that one and do that later, because that's actually the best looking one of those I saw. Plus, I then can put, then because it's separated, you can paint the bottom gold as it's supposed to be, and then paint the Delta silver, which is supposed to be. I might have to try that.
Oh, here we go. Nope, I got it. Also on Thingiverse. Now I can... There you go.
Let's see if that's the one I'm thinking of. Yep, that's it.
There you go. Season 3 comm badge.
Now, and I'm still trying to figure this out. I think for Discovery Crew, they have the rank on the badge. So, like, for example, the one that's in the main image there is the captain's rank, because it's four pips. But I have to look again, because for some whatever reason, when they get back to Starfleet, Discovery Crew never changes out of their blue uniforms and into the ones the rest of Starfleet are wearing are gray.
Right.
Completely gray with the rank division trim colors, I think.
If you look through the STL files, they have zero pips all the way through four pips.
Okay. Yeah. I have to look and see what it actually has on the show. But I can't imagine. This is something I'd like to try and print. I don't know how well it would print, though.
But it's smaller, and it's dense enough that you could... I wouldn't probably... Because of the dome shape, I wouldn't do it in, like, PETG.
I probably actually... I don't even know if I would lay it flat. I might actually stand it on end.
That might help. But definitely, that would be a PLA print for me.
Probably. But... I scroll down to the bottom of that, and I've seen them there before. I've also seen them 3D printed before, but they have the four elements from the fifth element, and the DL-44 blaster for Han Solo.
Yeah, I see the same ones. Print. Oh, that would be a difficult print, and it would be even more difficult to get it to look right with all that detail. Oof.
What, the Han Solo blaster?
Yeah, the Han Solo blaster.
Yeah, it is.
Difficult
print. You're printing those in Super.
Yeah, and that means at any size where it's recognizable as a blaster.
Right.
That's days.
Oh, easy. Because you want to print as many. Some of those, I see some of those things, like the scope on the top, you probably could print in standard mode. Separate. That would probably be fine.
And print it separately. Print it in chunks. That would be helpful, but...
And, maybe... And I don't know how the STL is, whether it has the muzzle in two pieces. Like for example, the very end of the muzzle you might be able to do fine in standard. But the bottom, the piece that's right behind it, the flash suppressor, that you probably wouldn't want to print pretty high detail because it's got a lot of ridges on it.
Yeah, and with the fifth element ones, if I were to print those, that would have to be like vase mode with a larger nozzle and extremely minimal on the detail.
They're fairly large. But you probably could get away with that too.
Yeah, you would be able, I think you would be able to get away with that, except for maybe a portion of the water one, which seems to have narrower lines.
I haven't looked to see if those have the little flaps that fold out.
It doesn't look like it, but I could be wrong.
Does it? Yeah.
But still, that's going to be a lot of filament, and oh, yeah. You'd have to do a lot of switching things out. Probably like a 1 millimeter nozzle instead of your standard 0.4. You could probably go with a 0.8.
I don't know how large those are. I mean, you may not have to do vase mode. You might be able to do it with zero infill.
Well, no, you're going to need infill, otherwise the top's not going to print.
That's true.
You're going to get severe sagging on the top.
I'll have to see what some of the people have done settings-wise.
Oh, okay. Now, yeah, I guess if you laid it down on its side and printed it as, instead of printing it straight up, if your printer's got a big enough bed for that, then
right.
With the angle on the sides, maybe you could get away with no infill, but you might want a couple extra walls in that case, and that'll take you longer yes. anyway.
Yeah. It's that's like one of the if you ever printed a lithophane yet?
I have not.
Okay, I have. Okay. And somebody posted one, and it's obvious he printed it one probably thicker than it needed to be, and he also did infill because you can see the grid marks in it. And someone said, "Well, you should print it with zero infill." It's like, yeah, but well, the other thing the guy did too was he also printed it flat. Lithophanes, oh, okay. you want to print it on in order to get the best amount of detail in a lithophane. You want to print it vertically, so you don't want to print it with the picture laying flat on the bed. You want to print it standing on the end. Okay, that shouldn't need any support. You might need a brim, so it stays attached to the bed.
Okay.
But if you do it that way with 100% infill, and actually if you do it that way too. You're likely, even if you put 0%, it would likely still be 100% because it's going to be thin enough
right.
that it's just going to be walls.
Right. Well, looking at the STL files, these are actually zero infill.
Okay.
And you're printing them out in sections. So each of the design sections are separate from everything
flat
else.
Flat
so,
together.
Right. So you're just printing out the two separate pieces. Although there are STLs for whole ones.
Right.
It would probably be easier to do the individual ones. And then, yeah, you're just...
But see, the only thing about that is I don't know if you print those and did them so they look nice, if you want, when you want to go to display them, would you want to display all four of them together, or would you want to get pillars to put around your room?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. But I do also see where somebody like shrunk down the print and made them into like pencil toppers.
Yeah.
And I see a couple of prints where people use the hollow tube.
Yeah.
I guess they chopped off the bottom bit and then they like put a lamp in it or something.
Yeah. I could see that.
Which is kind of cool.
But props and stuff like that, like Punished Props, I think he has videos of some of his 3D prints. A lot of cases, like what he's done in a lot of cases is he might 3D print something, but then he just finishes it once and then does a vacuum form just like a Mordancy said. And then either vacuum form or a mold, and then he can pour resin cast it. That way they're more solid, don't need as much finish work because you already did it once on the lighter PLA piece, but now it'll be heavier and solid and less finished work when you pull it out of the mold. Just paint it.
Yeah, this might be cool to try. I know my wife was talking about wanting some of these, the Fifth Element ones, and like having them as candle holders, but the ones that were big enough for what she wanted were like $80. So
But the nice thing is you can actually get paint that makes, it'll make that PLA that look like stone when it's done.
Right. Or you can get the stone PLA.
Right.
Either one. Now, I'm wondering if this would be a good print for, like, PETG. It's a larger print. It's not thin-walled. Mm-hmm. And there's no bridging. You might have some issues with stringing in the middle, but that's easy enough to fix.
Yeah. The grooves might have some issues, too.
Yeah, maybe. But they're supposed to look rough.
Yeah, they're not supposed to look perfect, but you don't want stringing in it, though, because that wouldn't look...
That's what a heat gun's for.
Right, that's true.
You hungry?
Yeah.
What are you eating now?
Chicken.
Oh, yeah. Mm. What kind of chicken?
Bacon-wrapped chicken?
Bacon-wrapped chicken.
Bacon-wrapped.
With jalapeno and cream cheese?
Oh, there you go. All right, then.
Oh, that's like of, jalapeno oh, hold on, pepper
hold on,
chicken.
Hold on. The wife's going to say exactly what it is.
Okay, he's got several pieces of chicken. There's jalapeno fajita chicken, and then there is chicken wrapped in bacon with Rosetta and asparagus stuffed inside.
That sounds good.
Nice. You got like a choice of chicken there, huh?
Yeah.
It's not just one. You got chicken choice.
Yep.
Did you say thank you?
I always say thank you.
All right. Good.
Of course he did. What are you doing for your turkey tomorrow, Dan?
I'm smoking it, man.
Smoked turkey?
I just got to put the rub on it tonight. I've had it in the I broke it down today, and I had it salt brining.
Spatchcocked it.
I did not spatchcock it. I told you I don't spatchcock.
I like brining. Good
all
choice.
The parts cook at different times. But anyway, what were you gonna say, Joe?
I know a lot of people that use a fryer and peanut oil to cook
That's
their turkey.
That's Southern tradition, sir.
That's right, here. Baby.
Yeah. I just never got into it, and I don't know.
That was smoking.
It should
is,
be
right?
a lot. It should be a lot quicker, shouldn't it? Frying it like that.
Yeah, it should be quick. I've done it different ways. Yeah. Most of the time, I just roast it in the oven. But I have the rump appeal set it and forget it oven. I've done it in that, and it actually comes out really good.
Oh, there. Really?
Yes.
Wait, is that the rotisserie?
The
rotisserie works really good, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, Mine'll be too big for because I had my air fryer can do that. Although I think I have the rotisserie parts packed away. I don't think they're here. I think they're in storage maybe, but my bird's too big to fit in that fryer. I've tried doing Cornish game hens in my air fryer, and they're still too big.
Well, I haven't had a Cornish game hen in a long time.
Right.
The turkey, I cut the legs and the wings off because those things, you know, they cut much quicker. They cook up much faster than the whole carcass, you know? So you don't want to burn the shit out of them.
Yeah. I just thought of something. I hope I have some aluminum foil in there. I think I do. Because that's what I like to do is there's certain times where I'll cook it like naked initially, but when it gets to a certain point so that the breast doesn't cook too much, I'll throw a piece of foil over that so that basically helps it from getting too brown on the top, you know. But I generally don't do too much to it. I put it in it's funny, a couple people at work in our we have a online employee resource group on Slack, and they were saying, "Well, I'm doing my turkey for the first time because of the pandemic." I said, "The turkey's the easy part, man."
Yeah, just plan everything else out in advance.
Yeah, I mean that.
Well, once you do your prep for the turkey, it's mostly stick it in the oven, check on it every now and again. Maybe depending on how you're doing it, you got to put some juice up on the top again.
I was gonna say maybe baste it right, and that's usually what I do, but. But my desserts will be ready. Really,
a wine based. I love a good wine based on a turkey.
The, The only thing I have to do in the oven tomorrow is the turkey. Everything else will be like on the stove or since I'm not doing a lot of production on my sweet potatoes, I'm basically going to throw the can of sweet potatoes into a microwavable bowl and do that because me and my son are the only ones that like sweet potatoes, and I actually just like the canned yams as they are. I don't like to put the marshmallows crap on top of it.
Don't get me wrong. I do enjoy cooking, but mostly my plan for tomorrow is to stay out the wife's way. I'm probably going to put up a tree something.
Yes.
Well, I have a question for Pat.
Go ahead.
About last week. Did you say you got Odin working with Ardor?
Yes.
Okay, I was just curious about it, because I started looking at Odin, I was just curious about it, and I pulled it down and everything, but then I was like, I can't really do anything with him, and I assume that...
They're VSTs plugins, so you need some kind of other application that'll fire it up. I think what you want to get Carla, you can use that as a standalone. If you don't want to do our door, but if you do our door, you got to, you add like a MIDI track and then you should see it in your plugins. You put it in your plugins folder where Outdoor is looking at it. It's user live VST where the VST plugins go. And then our door, when it starts up, it'll scan that folder and it should see the plugin. You could do it through our door or you could do it through Carla. Carla will, you can, fired up as just a standalone.
Is that Carla?
Yeah, Carla. Yeah.
Huh. Okay. I'll check. Well, I was going to get our door working, but I didn't invest the time yet.
It's not that difficult. I mean, just as long as you got like a low latency kernel running. But what are you running, Arch?
No, I'm running Fedora right now. Well, Arch. I mean, I do have Arch, Ubuntu, and Fedora.
Yeah, the easiest way to get it up and running if you got Ubuntu, is through the Ubuntu Studio packages. Yeah. They have like the audio stuff and it'll pull in the low latency kernel. It'll pull in Ardor. It'll pull in Jack, Carla, a whole bunch of VST plugins. You know, the VST plugins are like effects and there's all sorts of different things in there. There's like, you got like reverbs and delays and choruses, flanges, distortion pedals, all that crap.
Oh, Pat, cool. That reminds me. I was supposed to ask you, Minix and Honky would really like you to come on to the Linux Lugcast and talk about that subject. It wouldn't be this Friday. It would be next Friday.
Yeah, I could probably do that. I'm still learning. You know, I used to use Ardor, but like now I'm getting into actually doing the recording. And, yeah. You know,
but we want to talk about your journey and the setup.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm not 100%, but I'm still getting there. You know, I got this, this USB external audio interface and that makes a big deal. You know, I was going to get the 2-channel one, but they discontinued it. So I got the 4-channel one. It was a little more money, but I'm glad I got the 4-input one because you could do like stereo stuff at the same time. You could have a mic hooked up. You could do a bass direct, you know. There's also some commercial applications too that are not free software, but they're relatively cheap. There's this one Mexican company. I'll tell you what the name is. It's hold on, give me just a sec. Yeah, there's this company. They make this thing, Air Impulse Loader, and they also make a product called Reamp. It's Audio Salt is the company. The website is audiosalt.mx. It's a Mexican company, Mexican developer. And he does like a lot of guitar and audio stuff. And not everything is available in Linux, but there is the main ones are available in Linux. It's commercial. And he's running sales on them. The one I installed was a Duality Bass Studio. It was like $6. And it's 100% worth it. It's like, you know, software amps, cabinets, effects, You know, so I was playing, I was plugging my bass into the audio device, and I was using this Duality Bass Studio, and I was getting some really nice sounds with it. And then, what they have now is, you know, MIDI, you know, everyone knows what MIDI is. It's like, you know, it's software sampling for like keyboards and stuff. But that's what it was originally designed for. You could do it on any instrument now. But with guitars, they have what are called, impulse responses. And basically they're, snapshots of, speaker cabinets, all different makes with different microphones and stuff. And, there's different companies out there that sell them. They're basically WAV files. And what you do is, you use them with the VST plugin inside either, you know, whatever, recording software you use, whether it's Ardour or not. And you can load these audio, IR files, these WAV files, and you can pretty much make your guitar or bass sound like it's coming through any kind of amplifier. It's really amazing stuff. And there's companies that sell the libraries relatively cheap. And, there's a couple of good ones, and they're running sales now, if you're interested. So I've been playing around with that stuff, getting it going, trying to get a good guitar sound. I'm looking to see if I have to get like an attenuator, you know, load box. If you have a tube amp, you have to get a load box to be able to run it into your software. So I'm looking at that. That's hardware. I'm still trying to figure out how to get a good guitar sound. But I've gotten pretty good bass sounds with that Duality Bass Studio from that company. And they offer, like I said, they offer Linux versions as VST plugins. And they also have standalone app too you can use. So, and it works, you know. But it's not free software. It's just a binary executable. But it's at least these guys are making the software. Most of these commercial software, you know, this guitar stuff, they don't have Linux versions. It's just Mac and Windows. But at least these guys, they have some of their applications are Linux, you know, versions. You know, they're available as VST plugins. Mm-hmm. And they work. And they're relatively cheap. But the bass thing was $6, and they have this other one that was like $9. And then they also have this reamp application. If you look on YouTube, you can see what it does, and it's really powerful. That one's a little more money. That one's like $60, but it's got a lot of sound libraries that come with it. I didn't do that one. I just did the bass and the impulse loader app.
Makes me wish I would have remembered there was a company a few years ago they were trying to build it. Basically, they took the Samsung Q1U, which was one of those ultra-mobile PCs, and they were trying to basically make it like a kind of like a Linux audio, digital audio workstation.
Well, that Duo company that I was talking about a few weeks ago?
Right.
That is a Linux product. Those guys are Linux people. They're right. Like Linux audio people.
Mm-hmm.
And, the guy who owns the company is this Italian guy, and they're based out of Berlin, Germany. And, there's all Linux people from, you know, different places. I think one of the main guys is this Brazilian guy, and there's a bunch of German, engineers, and, that stuff is really innovative, what they're doing there. They're basically, you know,
right.
it's basically an ARM processor, embedded device, and, I was looking at some of the development, the build, the applications and stuff. And basically, you know, you got to compile everything for that platform, you know, to be able to use it. But it's open source, and the whole tool chain's available. You can write the stuff and deploy it, and it's really, really good stuff those guys are doing. You know, they had the Core Duo or Duo X, and they're coming out with the Duo Dwarf is the new box that's coming out. It's supposed to be coming out, I think, like end of January, February, somewhere in that timeline. You know, and they market that as like a guitar effects processor box, like a stomp box, but it's not. It's a freaking computer. It's got all the software synthesizing, it's the effects and all that crap. Speaker emulations, amplifier emulations. There's a bunch of like, there's drum machines and sequencers. I mean, it's really, really, really powerful. Really, really impressive stuff they're doing. So I'm still learning. I've got some ideas for some songs. So I'll get into the recording process and put some tracks down and have a couple songs. So whatever I come up with, I'll share.
Cool.
More Nancy actually made a comment back when we were talking about the Star Trek and Star Wars stuff. There are two new track shows coming, Section 31 and Strange New Worlds, which is a Pike / Spock series. So.
It's a prequel cool sequel. Stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Prequel sequel. Keeps making me wonder why I haven't heard much about the Battlestar Galactica series that was supposed to hit Peacock. I'm sure a lot of TV productions got held up by this.
NBC Universal streaming service that nobody cares about?
Well, you should, because there's a ton of stuff on it. And you don't have to pay for it either. You basically you can sign up for a free account, and it'll just throw ads into stuff. But depending on what it is, like, for example, they have the entire Battlestar Galactica series. Well, that series which is originally filmed to have ad breaks in it, so it actually works. It's not like they're cutting a movie up in that. Like, is what? Now, this is where some of the streaming services completely screw it up. That start trying to do some things for free. I was watching this Planes, Trains, and Automobiles on Fubo. And I swear, in a 15-minute sequence, there was at least 5 ads. It's like, really? Yeah, at the, if I go back to finish watching it, I might count in, you know, when the first ad, how many ads I get between the point I am in the middle in the movie, which is about the middle of it, to the end of it, and see how many ads play in that. And it's just, you know, I'm like, I'm okay with you, like, if there is a way, well, actually what's worse is Fubo, I pay for, but I'm still seeing ads. So, I don't mind seeing ads. That doesn't bother me that much. You know, I grew up with that shit, you know? So it's not like some millennials just can't stand to watch ads in anything, especially millennials, but people our age, I don't think we mind it as much. I don't like to see ads, but if that's one of the few ways I can watch something, then I'll put up with it, you know? But, you know, it's like when you're cruising TV tomorrow.
I hate ads.
You know, and you come across an old movie, you'll just put it on for background noise, you know? But.
They got Sliders on there.
On Peacock?
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's not on like a Fox streaming service. Well, yeah, Battlestar Galactica Reimagines on there, Warehouse 13, I believe Eureka might be there as well, since NBC Universe yep. owns Sci-Fi, so.
It's there.
Yep.
Sequest, DSV, Sequest 2032.
Yep.
Battlestar Galactica, The Plan.
I don't think the 78 version of Battlestar is on there.
I don't see it.
Yeah. But, what is that watch? Don't forget YouTube. There's a lot of free content on YouTube, too.
Yep.
The only thing is sometimes they'll edit the hell out of it.
And lots of ads.
Yeah. Like, I think the RoboCop free version that's on there, I believe that they censored all the blood out.
Would not surprise me. I did see that they have the movie Blind Fury on there.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the whitewashed version of Zatoichi.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
But you never watched Zatoichi?
Nope.
The Blind Samurai?
Nope.
You should go and find old Zatoichi movies and watch them. They are awesome.
How's it spelled?
Zato Ichi. Z-A-T-O Ichi.
I have to look. Isn't Netflix doing an Ultraman series too?
I think they put it out. I was just looking a few minutes ago. For some reason, I was looking at Ultraman. And I know that there was a trailer for it in 2019, whether it came out or not. I think it did come out. And I remember commenting that the trailer looked kind of like shit. It was anime, but almost live action parts in it, but it wasn't. It was really weird.
It is out.
I don't think I've ever seen any Zato Ichi. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, you definitely have to check it out.
What year was this made?
There was a lot of Zato Ichi movies. The first one was made in 1962.
Okay.
Actually, the first two were made in 1962. Then there was 1, 2, 3 of them in 63. 1, 2, 3, 4 of them in 64. And then, all the way through. The last one was made in 1989.
Huh. I'm surprised I haven't seen one of these.
Looking through Netflix and then discovered they have the the Doom movie that had Dwayne The Rock Johnson in it.
Yeah, that was terrible.
That's what I heard.
Oh, it was bad.
Most video game movies are bad.
Resident Evil was good.
Yeah. See, did they bring out a new series of The Toys That Made Us? No, season 3 is the highest. And season 3 has very little that I'm interested in. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, My Little Pony, and Professional Wrestling.
You a brony?
No. Season 2 was Star Trek, Transformers, Lego, and Hello Kitty. And season 1 was Star Wars, Barbie, He-Man, and G.I. Joe.
Gotta get this wrapped up. I gotta get rub on this turkey.
Oh,
well, I gotta get my desserts made.
Watch some Zato Ichi this weekend and tell me what you think.
Where can you watch it?
There's this thing called the internet.
Oh, so it's on YouTube? Or
I'm not sure if it's on YouTube or not.
Okay, I see it. Like it's
Have the films.
A bunch of different.
I'm sure, because of how old they are, I'm pretty sure you can find them streaming somewhere.
It's on the Criterion Collection.
Amazon Prime has them, but the for rent.
Yeah.
Yeah, Criterion Channel.
What is the Criterion Channel? Is that... I remember when I used to like the Criterion Collection used to be on Hulu, but I guess they have their own channel now.
Yeah, www.criterionchannel.com. And it looks like it's got a bunch of them.
Yeah, I guess that's a pay service, right?
I'm not sure. Well, you do have to sign up, so probably.
A movie lover's dream, 14 days trial. All right. Definitely have a safe and happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Dan.
The rest
of us too. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You too.
Don't eat too much, right?
What's gonna be eating too much?
It is Thanksgiving. I might just, you know, eat way too much.
I'm gonna definitely eat way too much. Yeah.
I'll probably have a nap.
I'll probably hate myself afterwards, but yeah, I'll probably eat too much.
Don't forget
to Fan City.
Don't forget the Hacker Public Radio 2020.
New Year's. 2021.
We'll pray to Plomo for that, which is good. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you guys. I hope you have a safe and happy holiday. And here we go. Plan us out. Thank you very much. 3D print your turkey tomorrow, Joe.
I don't think the kids will eat it.
Here we are.
A little hard.
That's what she said.
Ba-dum-bum.
Hey, folks. It's that time of year again. Time for the Hacker Public Radio 24 Hours New Year's Eve show. We encourage everyone to join us for stimulating conversation and maybe send a Happy New Year's greeting to the HBR community. We plan on starting at 10 a.m. UTC December 31st, also known as 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we will keep the recording going until 12 a.m. UTC January 1st, also known as 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, unless people are still on and talking. To join us, all you have to do is install Mumble. It is available on all platforms, including iOS and Android. Then, just create a nick and go to hackerpublicradio.org for the server details. Connect, join the Hacker Public Radio room, and you're there. If you can't join us in Mumble, but would like to hear the show live, we will have a stream up so you can listen. You can go to hackerpublicradio.org for the server details of the stream. So come on and join us. It's always a good time.
Oh my God. It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Turkey.
Looks like one of the Zatoichi movies is on YouTube. Well, I guess there's a couple of them.
Not going to be one of those where you go to it and it shows like the first thing and then it's somebody, some asshole's like trick to come in.
Well, I skipped halfway through and it still looks like Zatoichi.
Zatoichi's Revenge.
Zatoichi's Vengeance on this one. And then there's also Zatoichi Challenged.
Not the series though, right?
Not the series. I'm talking about the movies.
Right.
Ooh. And there is a series. And they do have some of the episodes. Zatoichi, The Blind Swordsman, Season 2, Episode 1.
Yeah, I saw the series. I thought you were saying something like it was whitewashed or something. You weren't talking about the series though, were you?
That's Blind Fury. Basically the same premise, but with a white guy.
Okay. Yeah, Zatoichi's Revenge, The Blind Swordsman, Zatoichi. That's just a clip. Tale of Zatoichi.
There are so many movies in that series. I really haven't watched any of the actual TV series that they had. I just watched the movies, or some of the movies, not even all of them.
All right, I'm going to stop the recording. Say goodnight, Joel.
Good night, Joel.
I wouldn't mind talking about both of them.
Mm.
Is one a romance?
One of them has some romance. Actually, you know, both of the books have romance in it. I don't think they'd be called, you know, romance novels or anything, though.
BDSM novels,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So there you go.
There's some of that in just about everything.
Okay.
But you think there's none of that in Ernest Cline's books?
No. I do.
That's why Joel reads them.
That's funny. Had the Bella's subs for dinner tonight because I didn't want to cook because I'm cooking a storm tomorrow.
Who's subs?
DeBella's.
DeBella, okay. Is that like a local place?
Actually, I think it's a chain, but I don't know how large of one it is.
Okay. Is it like a local chain, maybe?
I don't think it's local.
No, there's none here.
Yeah, I've never heard of it, so... But then again, have you ever heard of, Lee's Hoagie House, or...
No.
Jay's Steaks and Subs, or...
They are in New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Connecticut, and Indiana.
Okay. Have you heard of Jersey Mike's?
Yep, we've got one of those.
Okay.
El Pollo Loco?
There was one around here, but then it closed down.
It's California, isn't it?
Well, there's Pollo Loco's here.
Yeah. The Crazy Chicken.
Taco Casa.
The nice thing at the Bella's makes their rolls are just fantastic. Ugh. It's hard that's, well, really everything about it's good. It's like Subway used to be before they started to suck.
Like Taco Bell?
Taco Bell can be alright. Just depends what you get.
Well, the problem is that they've shrunk their menu so much that there's hardly anything there anymore.
As of late, yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's gotten crappy.
Oh, it says on their Wikipedia page for DeBella's, it says Wegmans has incorporated DeBella's style sub shops into their stores with consultation from the DeBella family, but they are not actual DeBella's restaurants, so it sounds like if you've had a sub at Wegmans, it's similar. I had salami tonight. And I've had the one called the Dagwood, and I've also had one. Their corned beef is really good too. They hit the spot, though. I've learned a trick with them. If you go, they're in a couple of different, Uber Eats and Grubhub. Didn't look in DoorDash, but if I load their app, DoorDash is actually who brings it. And the app also lets me tell them I want my sub to be heated, although I usually get cold because that's the way I like them. My wife likes the hot one, though, so she gets her Italian heated up.
I should have cut that stuff out right there, right?
Right.
She likes the hot one? She likes her Italian heated up? I like that.
Yeah. Salami, though, was like, kind of like they just sliced it, so it was actually it was really thin. It was actually kind of neat. I'd never seen salami cut that thin before. But, and it was cut thin, but it, there was a lot of it still. I mean, it wasn't like it was thin, so it was thin cheap, you know, cause it's not.
One second.
I'm used to seeing the salami, like you get it at the grocery store, all pre-sliced and a little bit thicker than what the sub had on it. Of course, I wish I can get some. Well, I just need to go over to Kroger's and get some Lebanon bologna. And no, Dan, I'm pretty sure Dan can get that down in Virginia now too. I think.
Cuckoo, yeah. All right. Let's get this. This started here.
Yeah. Vigo Showtime. I would go all night. No, I'm kidding. We can't. I gotta get turkey in the oven by about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Time you having dinner?
When it's ready. Probably about 1.
All right. Good.
So, of turkey.
Alright, so this is 882. Let's fire it off, alright? Give Ken a round.